It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along for the journey once again with the Daniel Pryor, the Sound Mind broadcast on for coming up on 2 years here pretty soon, I think. Daniel, good afternoon to you once again.
Great to be here. Healthy again and
healthy, wealthy, and
see
wise.
Your healthy face.
Coming back from you went to Baltimore for the Thanksgiving holiday recently, and you had five different kinds of turkey. I guess
they really
like the birds over
they
there.
They really put on it. And then 2 days after the turkey thing was over, we were gone. But the host that did the turkey, big turkey fry and everything there, actually got a huge cooker and did a whole hog for a whole different group. So
you mean a deep fried hog?
No, it was in a roaster or smoker or something, but it was big enough that he had to tow it on in the back of his pickup.
Wow,
tow it on the back.
And this guy does all kinds of things. He does the deep fried turkey, the smoked turkey. You said the smoked turkey was
the
best.
Three deep fried, one smoked, and the smoked was I'd ever had smoked turkey before, and so. And then there was, and we've done this a number of times, and I have yet to taste the turkey that she does in the oven. But I'll bet that's pretty good, too. But
probably
it's quite a hoot, yeah.
So. Well, sounds like fun, and it sounds like they take a lot of care in the preparation of their meal, and that segues to our subject this week. Care comes to the rescue. And you wanted to kind of highlight what you think is maybe a missing ingredient in a lot of relationships. It's a word that women seem to gravitate toward more than men, but still we both need to have care in our relationships.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting topic, so stick around. I was talking to Mark earlier about how that in the counseling profession, you don't come up with new things every single time. There are a number of themes that I stick with, and they work for people, but sometimes you have to repackage them for different individuals or different couples. And so, you know, we've used the word terms like trust and love and communication. We've talked about the love triad: trust, forgiveness, communication, those kinds of things. And care is a word that is not often, at least in my communicating with couples or families, it's not a word that comes up as often as some of the others of these. But yet it's a word that people really connect with, and that comes to us in a different way. You know, if I were to use the word love, and I would say, well, there needs to be love in the relationship. People, you know, might be more inclined to think, well, yeah, that's tell me something they don't know. I might say the word we need care in a relationship. That comes a little bit differently. And so we want to kind of develop that a little bit. And actually, I want to talk a little bit later on in the show about how we need to weave this care throughout the fabric of the relationship so that it's always there. It's not the sort of thing that you can just draw out like a wild card when you need it. And we're going to talk about why we need it, when we need it, and just really how fundamental it is. Couples and family members often come for help because they just aren't getting along. And I'm talking about probably mostly in the way that they communicate, but, you know, obviously the foundation of the way we communicate has to do with the way we feel about one another. If we like to be in the presence of someone, we communicate with that person differently than if we are in the presence of someone that we don't like to be with. Believe it or not, couples can get to places where they don't like to be with one another, and family members the same way. So there are things we do to try to get along. You know, we might go to seminars, retreats, read books, hear sermons, and even go to counseling, and we pick up tools. But the tools don't always work. Tools might be things like we learn it about honey-do lists or love languages, communication tools, shared time, intimate quality time. I've often told couples that you need to put on the calendar time that you spend together. So that might be a tool. Another tool might be separate time. You know, a person might feel like I need my own space. And so those things can work, but they don't always work. And so we find situations where maybe increasingly the tools aren't working, and we've been to the seminars, we've done these things maybe many times, but the tools we've picked up there Yeah, they worked for a while, and then they stopped working, and then we're right kind of back where we started. And understanding that something is then fundamentally wrong, something is getting in the way of the tools that should work. And
maybe they used to work.
Maybe they used to work. They did for a short time. You know, when, some of these things, if we go to a seminar or a retreat or marriage retreat or something like that, or
a marriage conference.
Yeah, and you pick up things that they're new and they're novel, and so they work for a while, and then they stop working. And so we're wondering, well, why did it stop working? That's kind of what we're talking about. One thing that came to mind over the past weeks when I've been working with married couples and is the quarreling. Now, I've seen it before, but I don't always think of the word quarreling. I'm probably more inclined to think of the word arguing.
Bickering, too?
Bickering, quarreling. Now, now you know what we're talking about, the people that are listening. If you've been in a relationship, a marriage relationship, family relationships, you know what we're talking about when we talk about, you know, you get into this almost like a roundabout where you're each chasing the other person's tail. The conversation isn't going anywhere. Neither person is really listening.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Neither person is really able to share any information of any consequence. It's as if every single topic can be like a volatile fuel, and every attempt to communicate is like a lit match. And I've seen relationships like that where they'll come in for help and they really cannot carry on much of a conversation for any length of time before they almost look for opportunities to light the fuel and get into one of these quarreling, not going anywhere.
It could be a lack of trust.
It could be a lack of trust.
It could be a lack of love. But you're suggesting it may be a lack of care.
Yeah. People say, lack of trust. And that's certainly a word we can use. And that's certainly part of it. We've talked about the love triad, where trust, kind of the idea of forgive and forget, and not to go into that too much, but the words forgive and forget are implying giving and receiving. So trust, giving and receiving, and communication, and that root word when we talk about communication or community or things like, you know, the root word is commune. And so when we talk about the love triad, we're talking about trust, give and receive, and communion. And when you hear those words, you recognize immediately they're associated together, and you can't really have one without the other. Well, that's certainly a truth, and there's nothing wrong with that. But even those things, sometimes we treat them as though they're, you know, we can sort of like inject those into the atmosphere, and it'll make a difference in the way that the tools actually work. And it could be, you know, we can say, well, it's a lack of love. Yes, certainly. But love has such a broad definition. It's almost nebulous. You know, it's overused. And, you know, what was the little song from Oliver Twist?
Where is the love? Yeah.
I was thinking of Oliver Twist. Does it drop from skies above, underneath the willow tree?
Where is love?
Yeah, you got it.
My wife teaches that in her classes. I hear that one a lot, actually.
We have libraries of songs and poems wondering what love is about and what it is. So to say that it's a lack of love can kind of leave us out there too a bit. Lack of care. So in these situations, obviously there's some care about something, or we wouldn't be arguing. You know, we say, I care. You don't care about me. And one man said, I think it was Jean-Paul Sartre said that existence is essentially care, and that's whether or not we have any use for existentialism. That's a pretty profound statement.
Yeah, I don't. Existence, why don't you expand on that?
Yeah, existence is essentially care. I don't know if I can expound very much on that. But if you stop to think about what is the difference between existing and a human and a human being, or a we talk about a human being. This same man said that you can't have being other than in the company of other beings. Mm. So, you know, I can exist as a Homo sapien on a desert island, but I can't exist as a human being on a desert
without
island.
Without others.
Because I have to in order to be human, I have to be in the presence of other humans. And so it goes along with that same idea of that existence is essentially care, he talks about. Another thing, maybe you've heard this before. I forget the originator of this saying, but it's priceless. No one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Have you heard that before?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So talking about care, and I was with a family not too long ago where we were talking about tools that I had taught them, tools that they'd try to use. And they weren't doing a bad job of it, but they continue to come to act back to a point and don't move beyond that point. So we were kind of going over the things we had learned, and I was realizing and helping them to realize, boy, you've got a whole toolbox full of tools here, and you're not doing a bad job of using them. But again, as I said earlier, there's something is getting in the way of these tools actually working, and that is that there's something missing in the relationship. Could it be trust? Sure, certainly some trust. You could call it love. But I wanted to put a different name to it, and so we started talking about care. Now, how do we actually develop care in the relationship, and how do we get around to actually weaving it through the fabric of the relationship? So what does care look like? What do you think it looks like?
Well, I mean, frankly, this care is a word that I guess, you know, I always hear in the context of take care now, be careful, health care. Mm-hmm. That's, but I don't think of care. I mean, you've heard the term, they're a caring soul. Mm-hmm. So there's this idea of, I would say medical, but there's this sense of just being really delicate with each other. And that's what it brings to mind for me, that term. And you mentioned, and you gave that this term seems to excite women more. Women seem to like that, the idea of care. And men, it seems to be harder for men to grasp
that.
Well,
I think as men, maybe we tend to use it more as a noun than a verb.
Mm.
You know, we think of care as could be a feeling.
Like a job.
It's like a job.
Yeah. Care seems
the things
healthcare.
That you mentioned actually were bringing
that
they're
out. They're all healthcare. Kind of jobs.
Yeah. And those things sort of take care, be careful. It's almost like it's almost something that you, a way that you go about doing things.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of carefree, it's
as opposed
careful.
To a feeling.
Yeah. Whereas gals, and I always want to qualify this, that I'm not talking about necessarily a difference between men and women so much as I like to talk about differences between masculine and feminine, because I think that that's a lot of times where the differences lie. Not all men are equally masculine. Not all women are equally feminine. So the gal might say, and I've heard this, the man might say, well, how can I show you that I care? And that's not an easy question to answer. So the gal might say, well, you could tell me that you love me. And then he might say, well, I do love you. And she would say, but you don't show me. Mm. And he said, hold it. You just told me that I ask you how I should show you. You said, tell. I told. You said you don't show.
Right.
So what we want to talk about when we come back from the break is, well, then how does... I was going to say that care can be like a chameleon. It doesn't have necessarily an appearance. It's something that's internal, and it looks differently in different circumstances. But if you don't have it, you can't fake it.
Right.
Let's say.
But it is something that we need to get a hold of and store it up for those tough times. It sounds like
something that an ingredient that has to be there. And so we'll talk about more of that when we come back.
Yeah. Well, what does care look like? This subject this week on the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor. If you need some help in your marriage, or maybe as an individual, some life coaching, counseling, how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
You can call me at 425-778-6169. That's 425-778-6169. And also people email me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
And your offices are?
Are in Kirkland and Edmonds.
Kirkland and Edmonds. Okay, we'll be back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along as well today, looking at the subject of care. Care comes to the rescue. Take care. What does care look like in our relationships? And kind of an interesting emphasis you're bringing this week, Daniel. Has this been coming up, you were saying, coming up in some of your counseling sessions lately? That's a missing ingredient that you're trying to get people to get a hold of.
Yeah, and it's a different way of saying things that we've said before. But as we've mentioned in the earlier part of the show, that sometimes as counselors, we're packaging things differently, saying things in different ways so that we can make the connection and people can actually kind of wrap their mind around. People come from different backgrounds. And I've just noticed in the past couple of weeks that I've been talking a lot to married couples about care and care as almost a foundational, fundamental part of a successful relationship. You know, as we spoke about in the first part of the show, we can go to seminars and retreats and coaching and counseling and pick up tools that affect the process and the way that we communicate and the way that we say show care, show love. But you can use these tools. You can use the tools that should show love and show care. And when, in fact, they don't, they turn out that they don't do that. And I used an example just before we went on break of the husband asking, it could be the shoe on the other foot, but I often hear it this way. The husband is asking, how can I show you that I care? Or how can I show you that, how can I show you that I care? She might say, well, you could tell me that you love me. He might say, well, I do love you. And then she would say, well, you don't show it, which is kind of a double, double jeopardy here.
Can't win for losing.
If by telling you I show it, but then in telling you I don't show it, it's we can have these tools, say the right words and whatever. I've had men say to me, okay, how can I show my wife that I love her? How can I show my wife that, how can I prove my trustworthiness? And I will ask him, well, are you trustworthy or do you love her? Because if you're not trustworthy, you can't prove that you are. And if you don't love her, you can't prove that you do. There's all of these tools. None of these tools will work if it isn't true. So obviously care has to start inside. So we've talked about what does care look like. Well, it can be like a chameleon. It can caring. We've heard about tough love. And sometimes when I had a situation the other day when somebody was talking about having to go to see her ailing parents and having to set some boundaries and set some rules about how things are going to go in order for us to get along. Well, sometimes care can look like that. When parents care for children and they have to discipline them, sometimes care can look like discipline. We're coming into the Christmas season now, and Christmas is approaching, and people will show their care by giving a card, giving a gift, something like that. So care can look differently. It will show itself differently in different circumstances if it abides, if it's actually there. If it's not there, it's not the sort of thing that you can drum up easily. You can, as we were saying before, you can do caregiving.
Well, I always think of the care package. There's another word. And what is in a care package? Things that somebody needs, things that make them feel like they're home.
Yeah. What care looks like. What does care feel like? So we were talking about how it has to abide. I just said it has to abide. Okay, well, how would I know that it abides? This is one of the things that has come up kind of a lot in marriage counseling and in family relationships, that when there's care in a relationship, you feel that the other person is with you. Now, all day long, let's imagine a husband and wife who are either he goes off to work, she goes off to work, or they both go off to work. And during the day, they might ask themselves, well, what can I do right now to show that I care? Or how do I know that I care about this that person? And here would be a litmus test. If during the day, while he's at work, he has an assurance that she's thinking about him through the day, and she has an assurance that he thinks about her through the day. They might do things like, my wife doesn't always send me a text during the day, but somehow I feel like I should have gotten one, and then I might open my phone or something later. Or when she comes home from work, she might say, "Did you get my text?" And I look at it, and, oh yeah, it came several hours ago. Well, what's going on there is that we've developed our relationship to the point where I am assured that at some point during the day, she actually stops and thinks about me. And more times than not, she'll send a text and vice versa. Mm. Now, it doesn't matter if I get it on time or if I get it several hours later. It's the fact that there's care abiding. Other couples have traditions where whoever leaves for work first, the other one blows them a kiss and waves goodbye. You know, and then at the evening when they come home, they greet one another when they come in. Now, what they're doing in that case is they're developing, or they have developed, a sense that one person said that we're wired for relationship, we're hardwired for intimate relationship. We want to be assured that we're held in the heart of another person, and that might be sound kind of a schmaltzy way to say it if you're
I think that's driver. Very important.
So, but actually, it gets down to that. You know, I can be by myself but not feel alone if I have the assurance that that other person is having kind thoughts about me at some point. Mm-hmm. How would I have that assurance? Well, it's affirmed over and over again where the person actually says, "I was thinking mm-hmm. about you today." So,
well, for people who are single, though, this is a really good thing. This is something we first and foremost have to get from God, sensing that we are in God's heart. He does care mm-hmm. about us. He cares for you. We hear that. So there's something foundational about even that from a spiritual standpoint.
I think that's true, and I think it's very important, because if we try to do it without that, it becomes just a humanistic thing. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like sand going through your fingers. It can come or go because there's no firm reality on which that persuasion is mm-hmm. built. There's no fallback. We always can have the sense that it's only true because we say it's true. Mm. So I think you're absolutely right, and I think that's an important point to bring up, that at least for Christians, we have our care and our concern and our love is against the backdrop of eternal care. And so
absolutely.
And so mm-hmm. I think that gives it a lot more power. And care also feels like putting other people's needs first. And so we know that we actually know when we're doing that, when we're putting another person first. It takes some practice. I wanted to talk about the title of the show was Care Comes to the Rescue. And how does it come to the rescue? It comes to the rescue in the sense that if we're doing these things that we've been talking about, we can get into arguments, but they're not going to escalate. You can't avoid arguments. You can't avoid disagreements. Mm-hmm. You can't avoid hurt feelings, but they're not going to escalate, and you're going to rebound back from them, because the persuasion that you're cared for and that you care for that other person is not going to allow it to escalate. And so what we've talked about earlier and through the show, and I want to end with this thought, is that the idea of couples beginning to take steps to weave care through the fabric of their relationships by the way they speak to one another in the morning, the way they speak with one another or communicate with one another, if possible, through the day, the way they greet one another in the evening, the way they talk before they go to bed. And we've done other shows on communication tools and those kinds of things. And what I want to emphasize just today is that idea of all those tools have to be standing on that foundation mm-hmm. of care. So I want to challenge people to find ways to weave care through the fabric of the entire day and see if that doesn't start to make a change in the way that you know, these quarrels are going to be shorter, fewer.
Won't escalate.
They won't escalate. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Well, good stuff this week. Care comes to the rescue, and maybe you need a rescue in your marriage, and you need somebody like Daniel to kind of be the referee, kind of the person who brings some care to your situation. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yes, you can call me at 425-778-6169, and people also email me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com, where we also have the podcasts of these shows. And, of course, I have offices in Edmonds and in Kirkland, so it's convenient for people further south, further north.
BibleBasedCounselor.com. Another great broadcast, Sound Mind, with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.